So this album, I'm pretty sure, if my math is good, is your 18th album that you've released. So what makes it special? What makes it different from all the other ones that have been released over the years?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, I called it Stronger Than You Think because I think we are all stronger than we even realize we are. And at the time of writing the record, I was finding out that a lot of my friends were basically finding themselves with their backs against the wall, you know, dealing with a lot of personal issues, whether they be health or family or relationship and things like that. And I felt somewhat unscathed, and it made me feel, I don't know, like I wanted to help, but I didn't really know how, so I figured the best thing I could do was make music that might inspire people, fortify people, kind of prop them up a bit, and bring them joy in some way. So, without getting too preachy, I really just try to make songs that make people feel good or might connect with them, you know?
Okay, so the creative process for this, knowing that like you wanted this to kind of be like a pick-me-up album, how did you go about getting the people that you worked with? I mean, you worked with someone from Sugarland, you worked with someone from the Indigo Girls, so how did you put all of those pieces together to make this final product that you wanted?
I've made it a habit throughout my career to basically record in Georgia, which is where I'm from and have lived. And I know people here, I'm comfortable here, and people know me here. So it's easier for me to pick up the phone and connect with folks that, you know, like Amy Ray or Christian Bush or Chuck Lavelle or just folks like that. Because we're all Georgia folks and we help each other. So that's a beautiful thing about the music community here. So, you know, it kind of starts there. It starts from being in Georgia music.
How do you, because this is the thing, it's kind of like a difficult question like to phrase. You're loved in Georgia. Like, people love you in Georgia. You've won awards. You know, like you said, you have this tight-knit community there, but you tour all over the country. So how does that feel to go from, like, one place where you're incredibly comfortable to another place where people may not know you? How does that feel like when you get on stage?
Well, every night is different. Every city is different. It just means to me that I get to continue to make new friends and introduce folks to not only my new work, but my back catalog of work, you know, and that's exciting, really. I mean, on one hand, it can get frustrating simply because I have been doing it a while and there aren't, you know, millions of people who know me, but on the other hand, it's great because I get to have this long career. And quite frankly, I remember stating that that's what I wanted. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid and I first got signed and people were interviewing me and asked me what I wanted, I just kept saying, you know, I want a long career. I want a long, happy, healthy career. My parents are musicians and I grew up in a musician family. And we consider ourselves, quote unquote, blue-collar musicians because we just do it for a living.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what else to do with my time.
So let me ask you a question because it's kind of, I don't want to say it's obvious, but the first time you listen to, when someone listens to you, they hear that southern rock kind of feel. So like asking you who your influences are, we're going to get some people that we're going to go, yeah, I hear that. But tell me some people that influence you that people wouldn't expect based on your sound.
Well, like I said, I grew up in a musical family. My mom's a singer, her mother was a singer, and I grew up around every kind of music you can imagine. But what really made the biggest impression upon me was jazz and blues. And I guess what people consider easy listening as well. So you have just the really great singers of the wartime era and forward, plus classic rock, obviously, because that's really my era.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's era, too. We're not... we kind of listen to the same music. So my mother sang the pop music of the 70s. And then she also had to learn jazz standards and blues standards and things like that. So she grew, and plus we grew up in the church. So I learned a lot about that. I would go to voice lessons with my mother and sit under the piano and color in my coloring books while she learned Mozart.
That's great.
Arias. And, you know, she sang, she and my stepfather both sang in the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra choir. So I learned about Handel's Messiah early on and a lot of just great music, you know. So my grandmother was in Madame Butterfly. I learned about Puccini, and I learned about Led Zeppelin, and I learned about Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald and all this. By the time I was 10, I kind of knew what I liked, you know, which covers a lot of ground, but in my head, it was all the family's music.
So it's kind of like your family's music is everything.
Well, because they grew up in different eras and they played different music. My grandfather was an upright bass player in the war, and he turned me on to bebop and true jazz.
Wow.
And so and that was when I was a kid. So, you know, I love blues and jazz. If I had my way, that's what I would do. But I'm not a proficient enough guitarist. And I think the reason I make the music I make is because that's how I play guitar. And the way I learned to play guitar was listening to the Stones and Neil Young and singer-songwriters of the time,
mm-hmm.
of the 70s, you know. So,
sure.
Plus, my mother had every Linda Ronstadt record and every Bonnie Raitt record.
Nice.
So, you know. There you go. Those are all my influences.
There you go. I love Linda.
There's a ton of them. It's ridiculous.
So let me ask you, how was When I Grow Up written? So how did that all come together?
Well, I was sitting on the couch just playing guitar. I generally like to write sometimes when I'm on the couch watching television with the sound off.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets me out of my head, and I just sort of find it easier to get into spirit that way, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of came up with the basis of it, but I couldn't quite finish it. And at the time, I was playing in Christian Bush's band. For about a year, I played guitar and mandolin and sang background vocals in his band.
Wow.
So we were on a bus coming home from Detroit, which is quite a long drive, and we just kind of started playing around, and then I said, you know, I got this song I can't finish, and it reminds me of you a little bit. What do you think? So we just kind of threw it together on the bus. On a long ride from Detroit to Atlanta, but quite honestly, It happened really fast, and then I still had a long ride.
Do you feel like that's kind of like the case sometimes? Like when it's just meant to be, it's meant to be?
Meant to be. Yeah, I mean, sometimes. But then you can work really hard on a song for a long time, and it still come out great.
So
on the other hand, you can work really long and hard on a song and with it so much that you ruin it. So you just never know. Maybe you're right.
So looking at your bio, I mean, you've worked with some amazing musicians, like, you know, Greg Allman, John Mayer. But, like, I have to ask you, like, what was it like to work with James Taylor, who many consider, like, just one of the most iconic singer-songwriters of all time?
It was perfect and wonderful because I didn't even speak to him. I just stood with him on the stage and sang with him, and I passed him in the hallways backstage, but I was too afraid to speak to him. I mean, aside the fact that he's freaking James Taylor.
Yeah.
Sweet baby James. I can't even say his name without wanting to cry. That he's about 8 feet tall, you know, and although he, I'm sure he's a sweet, kind, gentle person, it's very intimidating. So, I'm the kind of person that when there's people I really admire, I would like to keep them at a distance, and I'll pay to buy tickets to go to their show because I don't want to know the underbelly of everything. I know enough already to know I don't want to know.
Sure. Especially like the society that we live in now. I mean, everyone wants to know everything about everyone, but at the end of the day, you just want to listen to their music. That's the most important thing, you know. But you know.
Absolutely, and I've met a few folks who I really, really admired, and it, you know, didn't quite turn out the way I wanted it to, and sure. I was disappointed because of my own expectations. And then I realized, well, if I'm going to keep these people on the little pedestal that I want them to stay on,
yes.
I'm going to have to
yes.
just let them be a rock star from afar.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I've run into situations like that before, you know, and like I remember one time I was having a conversation with somebody, and I love Billy Joel. Billy Joel's probably one of my favorite singer-songwriters. I know it's kind of cliche, but I grew up on his stuff. And one of my friends
he's amazing!
He's great! I love him! I love him live. I mean, I think he's the best, but like one of my friends was poking fun at me, and he's like, well, you know, he's a great musician, but I would never get in a car with him because, you know, he's a drunk and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, who cares? Who cares? Like, I'm never going to go hang out with him. You know, I'm never going to have a drink with him. So I don't care what he does in his own life. So, yeah, I completely get where you're coming from. No need to even open up that door. Just the fact that you shared the stage with him was more than enough for you.
At what point did we decide our rock stars should be perfect anyway? Isn't that the point of being a rock star?
Absolutely.
Live the life that the rest of us dream about. I mean, not, you know, driving drunk, but
yeah. Yes,
you know, whatever. So
let me ask you, what's your day-to-day life like? How do you wake up, like, you know, how do you prepare music, like how does music play a part in your life, like what are you doing right now?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you. We had a bit of a benefit for some folks the other night, and I'm actually trying to find their house to bring them the money we raised for them because they're a family that's in need at the moment.
Oh, wow.
You know, like I said, our community comes together down here, and folks are just really kind. I have the best fans in the world. So you know, that's what I'm doing.
So you're like,
and then I'm going to have lunch with somebody. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I got to go to the post office. And then, I mean, it's just like everybody else. It ain't no thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me ask you, give me like a little bit of a pitch. Why should someone buy this album?
Well, I really think that it brings joy. I've had a lot of people agree with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think that I met my goal and that I made a record that makes people feel good and connects with people on different levels. And, you know, we have such a complacent society. And so many folks either don't get off the couch or don't get off the phone. They're on Facebook and they're living in the virtual world. And
mm-hmm.
I also want to remind people how good it feels to listen to music again and to get up and hear some live music out in the world and connect with actual physical human beings. So I think if you listen to a record that you really like and you get the opportunity to go hear live music, that makes a huge difference in your life because for a few hours, you can forget all the bullshit and all the noise in the world and all the, you know, the elections and the drama on the media and just enjoy and live in spirit for a couple of hours, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're going to be playing The Bitter End soon in New York City. So what can people expect at that performance from you?
Well, I'm going to be acoustic duo, so it'll be me on acoustic guitar and my percussionist slash wife, and we're a great team. She grew up a dancer, so she's a heck of a percussionist. She's got excellent rhythm. In fact, she danced in New York with Liza Minnelli, so maybe we'll run into some folks. And we'll play some songs from the new record, and then, of course, from my back catalog. And I like to take requests from the audience, and occasionally I like to get someone up on stage to help us sing a song that they know and love. You know, a lot of people want to come up and just do some Michelle Yoki, we call it. So there's that.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to add that we haven't touched base on?
I don't guess so. You know, if folks need to know more or need some video or merchandise or whatever, they can check out tour dates as well at michellemalone.com.